Be'ezus Hashem, we are now going to begin our parsha class, parsha Behaloscha. Tonight is the 14th day of the month of Sivan, Toshin Ayin Tes, corresponding with the English calendar of June 17th, 2019. Parsha Behaloscha has very many interesting stories that affect the history of Klal Yisrael. Just briefly, it talks about the Levium being initiated through ceremony to become active workers and participants in the Mishkan. Parsha also talks about the mitzvah of Pesach Sheni, talks about how important the Ananiya Kavod were, the clouds of glory that led the Jewish people during the day and the night. Parsha talks about the unusual PA system. I'm using that term, PA system. The first PA system in the world that helped lead and organize and communicate with Moshe Rabbeinu and all of the Jewish people at the same time through the chatzotzos, through the trumpets, and so on. The parsha has many, many interesting things in it, but I'm going to dwell on the very, very beginning, and we will touch upon a fact that sometimes the smallest wholesome feeling can bring about an enormous reaction in Shemayim that could last for generations. What am I referring to? We're referring to the beginning of the parsha that talks about Hashem telling Aaron that he will be instructed to light the menorah. Rashi right away wants to know, what does the menorah have to do with the last parsha of the Nesi'im? The last parsha, Parshas Nasi, talks about how the Nesi'im donated 12 separate days korbanos on the Mizbeach. And we're putting together the story of Aaron lighting the menorah. What is the relationship between the two? And Rashi right away asks the question and makes the comment, and I want to dwell on both the question and the response that the Torah gives us. Let's go into Rashi. Rashi, at the very outset, Pasuk Beis, and you see the bold letter Behaloscha at the very beginning on page 774 in the Art Scroll Chumash. Behaloscha, let's first read the pasuk. Let's do the pasuk first. Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe, Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, Daber el Aharon, speak to Aaron, Vamarte elav, and tell him, Behaloscha es haneros el mul b'nei menorah, Yoiru shivas haneros. When he lights the menorah, the candle should be facing the Pinei menorah, the center of menorah, as the seven nevos are set aflame and they burn, so they should be facing the center of the menorah. And the Torah says, "V'yaskein Aaron elmul pnei menorah," and Aaron did so that it was facing the center of menorah. Ha'ela nerusah, he brought up the neros, the candles, or the lamps, which were wicks. Kashativ Hashem as Moshe, like Hashem commanded Moshe, and then he goes into the menorah like in some parshas Truma. Let's read Rashi. Rashi says, what is the relationship of the story of Behaloscha of menorah to the Nesi'im? So, Lama nisbal chaparshas ha-menorah LaParshat HaNasiim. What's the connection? So he answers, Lafi, let's read Rashi, Lafi, Shekisharo'a Aharon, as he saw Aharon, as Aharon saw Chanukas HaNasiim, the inauguration of Nasiim to the Mizbeach, Holsho Daitoi, he became depressed. Shalohaya Imoyim Bechanuka, he wasn't with them at the Chanukah. Loi hu v'lo shifto. Not he, nor with his shevet. Omer le'akodesh Baruch Hu, Hashem said, don't you be upset. Chayecha. I swear by your life, shalacha gedola mishalahem, that your portion, your task is greater than theirs. You are going to light and adjust, clean out, prepare the menorah daily, and light the menorah. We have to understand this whole dialogue. This dialogue that took place between Moshe Rabbeinu and his brother Aaron. Let's understand over here what bothered Aaron. What really was on Aaron's mind? Why was he so concerned? My Rebbe goes through this very nicely in the Sefer Chidekel. I'd love to share this with you. Some very beautiful insights about this whole dialogue of Aaron being upset that he wasn't privileged to be one of those, nor his shevet, of lighting the, of bringing korbanos. And we have to really understand what was really the problem over here. The Ramban, as my Rebbe brings down, discusses the question and makes the question even more clearer. Aaron was constantly involved with korbanos. In the preparation to become a Kohen Gadol, do you remember there was a Shmoni Yemei Amaluim, the 8 days of celebration of ceremonies of getting him ready to be a Kohen Gadol? He was daily involved in bringing korbanos. Was it a small matter that the Kohen Gadol was permitted into Kodesh Kedoshim, into the Holy of Holies? Is that a small matter? Isn't that a unique privilege? Well, what was bothering Aaron? What was deep under his skin that made him depressed? So he didn't bring a korban on the Mizbeach. And the Nasiim, for their first time in their lives, brought a korban on the Mizbeach. What was in his mind that bothered him so? You may have thought, you know, or you can say, well, look, the other korbanos were the korbanos that Aaron brought were obligatory. Hashem commanded him to bring them. But the korban of the Nasiim, that was nedava, that was from their goodness of their heart. It was nedava.
What's the Nasiim korban?
The Nasiim brought a whole slew of korbanos. And there's a whole history behind it, and I'm going to go into it now. But the Nasiim brought korbanos for a specific reason. The Nasiim were really doing tshuva. The Nasiim, going back at the beginning of building the Mishkan, were remiss in being the role models in giving towards the donation towards building the Mishkan.
Nasiim
are the princes, the leaders. There were leaders on every shevet. Now, these are great people. These are wonderful people. These are knowledgeable people, learned people. And they said, when Moshe Rabbeinu made the announcement, everybody, please, whatever your heart motivates, bring towards the Mishkan whatever metals, gold, silver, copper, whatever fabrics, whether it's blue wool, purple wool, whatever skins, whatever wood, but bring and bring. The Nesi'im said, and they were wealthy, at the end of your collection, come to us, and whatever you're missing, come to us. At the end, no one, they didn't need. Moshe made a clarion announcement, no more, we have enough, stop the donations. At that point, the Nesi'im became petrified. That means we have no part in the Mishkan. And every simple Jew can be proud and walk away with pride that he has a portion in the Mishkan. And we have nothing. So they quickly saw, what is that lacking? And of course there was the unique stones in the breastplate and in the shoulder straps, and there was the need for the special oil and the spices that were also very, very special. And that's what they ended up, but Hashem was upset. Hashem was upset that these were role models and they didn't come forth as a leader should. Question, yes, Isha?
Last week in the Parsha, there were 12 repetitions.
Exactly.
And it turned out that they all brought the same stuff.
Exactly.
So I'm confused as to why they were missed now, when they, last week it seems to suggest they all...
It's really missed. The reason, now I'm giving you history, the reason why they came forward last week in Parshas Naso is because Hashem took a letter out of their name. The word Nesi'im should have had a Yud Mem at the end. In Parshas Vayakel, when their name is mentioned without a Yud. And that's forever. When the Torah is read in Vayakel, it's a blemish. It's a blemish to the Nesi'im for having not been more aggressively active in wanting to donate to the Mishkan. The Nesi'im were now anxious to rectify that. And they did. Because the next opportunity, they came forth with Zrizus, with excitement, anticipation, and with enthusiasm. They decided to do two things that were very unusual. What were they? They donated six wagons and 12 oxen to help the Mishkan be transported in the desert. And when they donated those items, Hashem approved that donation. And the Pasuk says that yes, this is something what we approve of, and the Torah openly says so, that Hashem was pleased with that donation. And then they said, now we want to donate the first on the Mizbeach. We want to be the first to donate on the Mizbeach. And again, Hashem said, yes, I approve of their donation. And this was something that was not obligatory. It was totally self-motivated. This was from the feeling of wanting to be part of the Mishkan, to show that they are anxious to want to be the first to inaugurate the Mizbeach, and Hashem put his stamp of approval for that, as the Pasuk says in Parshas Naso. So now you have a little background. Aaron was a little bit disappointed. How come he was left out of this? He had no part of this. And he could have donated, but he was not included. Like, he felt very, very upset about this all. So Hashem said to him, you know what, don't be upset. your donation, I mean, your contribution of lighting the menorah is far greater than their giving a korban. Much greater than them. Why is that so? Because Nesiim bring a korban once on Mizbeach. One time on the Mizbeach will not surpass the honor that you and your family will have for lighting the menorah for generations beyond. Because in the lighting of the menorah in the Mishkan, despite the fact there was a Chorban, despite the fact that the Beis HaMikdash ceased to exist and the Korbanos no longer continued, the menorah still does. When and where? At the holiday of Hanukkah. The holiday of Hanukkah is a living memorial of the giving, of the lighting of the menorah that took place in the Beis HaMikdash at the time. When we say the bracha, Bayomim Hahem Bazman Hazeh, we make the bracha for us and Nisim Avoseinu, Hashem has done for us Nisim, for our forefathers, right? Bayomim Hahem Bazman Hazeh. In those days, in this time. What does that mean? That today, when if today is Hanukkah, there are certain holy rays that emanate from Shemayim, no different, Lahavdil, I should say, to the signals you get from the radio stations and the cell phone signals and all the different radio signals that you can't see, but with a device called a cell phone or a radio or what have you, picks up the transmission and you hear it and you know it's there. Hanukkah, Bezman Hazeh, we say, Vayom HaHem Bezman Hazeh, the holiness is today, as it was then. So we are really reliving the greatness of Hanukkah every year. And Hashem is telling Aaron, your honor is greater than theirs. Your honor is much greater than theirs, because their honor was once in the Mishkan to inaugurate the Mizbeach. They're going to be lighting the menorah every day in the Mishkan. The Kohanim will do it every day in the Beis HaMikdash proper. And even when it's destroyed, they'll be doing the menorah every year on Hanukkah. Okay? Now, I want to take it on another level. So now we understand to an extent how Aaron could have been consoled.
So he felt that the korban was on a much higher level to God than lighting the candles. That's why he was upset, because he thought that this sacrificing of this korban was like, that's the ultimate. And
that's
he's given
right.
A sort of like a secondary job by lighting the candles.
That is true.
Is that why he was upset?
No, No. He was upset that he didn't participate in the korbanos.
Because he thought that was much higher.
After he found out that his job was lighting the menorah, he was consoled. But we have to understand what really bothered Aaron that he didn't participate with the korbanos, right?
So what really bothered
and,
him?
And how did the lighting of the menorah
appease him
and unbalance those feelings and make him feel much better? That we didn't really touch base. Okay? Do you understand? The Ramban explains there was a simple answer that physically he was much more involved. The Kabbalah was only one time in history. Right, and if you want to continue on with the korbanos on the Mizbeach, and continue on the Beis HaMikdash, but the menorah was every day, and the menorah was even beyond the Beis HaMikdash. That was one way of answering this. But we can answer it in a much deeper level. As my Rebbe explains in Sefer Kideko, he brings down from the Tells of Rosh Hashiva, Ha'arav, Ha'goyim, Yom Meir Zetzal, a very unique answer. And listen carefully. It wasn't just bringing a korban. There was much more than bringing a korban.
And they just went around taking their...
He was able to perceive what an ounce of tshuva meant to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and how it motivated the 12 Nesiim into bringing those korbanos, and they were so dear to Hashem that they were repeated 12 times. But the kavanah was different to each one, each nasi. But it's so dear to Hashem, and this what upset him. He did not have the schus of that motivation of tshuva. That closeness that the tshuva brought to Nesiim, he did not have, and he couldn't have, because he was not involved in being relaxed and so to say, to be passive in giving the korbanos. I mean, giving the donations. They were kind of passive. They were. So they wanted to do tshuva. He can't have that feeling. They were so terribly remorseful. And therefore, that 1 ounce of tshuva, that tshuva from that missing yud, motivated that the Torah was given, had accepted 12 complete new parshios of Torah. Parshas means sections, because of their tshuva. You understand? No, they get.
No, no, I'm talking about the extra sentences.
Yeah. I thought it was
7 extra sentences.
I think we counted each one. Mm-hmm. Each one. Guess what? That's a tremendous amount. And what does it mean that they added so many more parshios? That means so much more Torah, and so much more holiness, and so much more conduit to Shemayim for us to understand the greatness of the Almighty, and this is their merit. And he lost it, or couldn't get it, is the word. He couldn't, because the only way he would have been able to have been motivated to do such tshuva is if he was one of them to sin and be passive and not been actively involved in bringing the korban. And he felt depressed just knowing that he did not have that schus of bringing 12 parshiyos of the Torah through an ounce of tshuva that they had. So the response was, you will be consoled. You know why? Because your descendants, your Kohanim, are the Chashmonoyim. Your descendants are the heroes in the story of Hanukkah. They are going to do tshuva, motivate the Jewish people to do tshuva. And they are going to light the menorah. And there will be a miracle that will be initiated through the Chashmonoyim, your descendants. And from then on ever, there will be a holiday of Hanukkah, which will be an honor to the Kohanim to light the menorah every year. From then on, until again, that wasn't the second base of Mikdash, until the second base of Mikdash was destroyed, and then we still have the holiday of Hanukkah. What we hear from over here is what upset Aaron, and how the menorah consoled Aaron. What consoled Aaron? Not just the physical lighting of the menorah. What consoled Aaron was that the motivation of tshuva that was brought about in the time of the Chashmonoyim years later, that motivated the whole nes of Hanukkah, which was lighting of the menorah. So when he saw the future, with Ruach HaKodesh, that he was the forerunner of the menorah in the time of the Chashmonaim in the second Beis HaMikdash, and they will be rekindled the menorah in its beauty and glory.
However,
he was consoled.
There was a second
because
decision that took place
the moment that upset him of tshuva, that he didn't feel he had, he now was able to instill and motivate that desire to do tshuva and to motivate tshuva into the Chashmonaim later on. And that out of that came the story of Hanukkah. It's a beautiful answer. That feeling of wanting to have more Torah and more greatness came about through the lighting of the menorah. And that came through the inspiration of doing tshuva at the time of the Chashmonaim. So it was the little tshuva that he felt remorseful that he didn't have enough to motivate 12 parashiyos, Hashem says your portion will be greater. Because your portion is the portion of lighting the menorah, and like I told you at the outset, that's on a physical level, but it'll be on a spiritual level that will be motivated a miracle years later through doing tshuva, and the miracle of Hanukkah will take place in its greatness and glory. And therefore, what we have to walk away with, such a beautiful message, what it means, an ounce of sincere and wholesome tshuva. If it worked for the Nesiim, it could work for us. The Nesiim were remorseful that they lost a yud in their name. You know how many hundreds of, or maybe thousands of extra letters are put into the Torah because of them. Because of their tshuva, of their being motivated to be bezrizus, to do mitzvahs, to do the mizbeach with enthusiasm and excitement, to be the role models in doing mitzvahs with relish and with meaning. And we have to walk away. Not to mitigate.
You have no choice.
Not to
But you should never do something.
Put on the back burner even a small mitzvah we do with our whole heart. Because any mitzvah that's done with our whole heart is not small.
God's going to protect me.
It's like atomic energy. It has nuclear power. It could change lives. It could create worlds. It could move mountains. That little bit can make such a difference. Let us try to find a mitzvah that we can get better at and do it with our whole heart. And not to advertise it, because then the Yetzer Hara kicks in very well. And then you have to be contended with him. But pick something that you know needs a little bit more housekeeping, let's say. A little bit more attention. A little bit more adjusting. And do it and say, this is my mitzvah. I'm going to try to be committed. Do with my heart. Do it with commitment. Hashem will help you, and you'll see. You'll be able to move mountains as well. Have a wonderful week.